WBEN HD2, Burlington, Philadelphia.
Testing, testing.
Hey, hey, hey.
Welcome, listeners. 8:60 a.m. WWDB, Sanjay and Jim show. Joe and Sanjay aren't here. What the heck's going on? It's just me. But we have such an amazing show. We have David Tyoon here, Caitlin Files. So exciting. David Tyoon wrote a book that I could not put down. It was actually amazing. It's called Stung. For all the shoebies in Philly, anybody that lives in near Atlantic City has to get this book. I could not put it down. It was absolutely amazing. So the first half of our show is all about David Tyoon and his book Stung, which is going to be a movie. David, it was actually an Atlantic City police officer, and he's going to talk to us about his adventures, which occurred in this book. And then we'll be talking to Caitlin after that. What firm are you with, Caitlin?
Myself.
That's right. Yeah, I haven't seen you for about a year.
I know. It's been a while.
How's the year been? I remember you started off, you were started from your home, and
yes.
Then you expanded your practice. How
yes.
are you doing now?
It's good. It's been about the same, so... Could be much worse.
All right, we're going to hear a lot more. We're going to open up the phone lines. The phone number here is 888-329-3306, and we'll be repeating that. And David, all right, so the name of your book is Stung. You can get it on the internet, stungthebook.com, and it's one man trying to get even. Tell us about that. Is that you getting even, or is that DJ getting even?
Quick correction. Yep. We have a couple movie people looking at it.
Okay.
We signed no deals yet, so.
Well, I can look into the future, and I see that movie.
I'm sure.
So I hope we do get that. That would be amazing, because this is just the way you read it. It's just like a movie. It's amazing. So it's stungthebook.com. And one man trying to get even. Talk to us about it.
It's about a guy who his wife gets hooked on drugs, unfortunately, from an accident. Oxycontin gets into heroin. Winds up dating a drug dealer to supplement the income while she was married. They decided the best way to get divorced is just to kill the husband because he's an MS-13 gang member.
His name was Rafa.
DJ was the guy who was...
That was her husband.
Who was the target. And through the guy's not a very friendly cop. Person. Last one, a retired cop would want to help. But through a mutual friend, they got hooked up. And so he started helping him and protecting him. And then he gets his identity stolen. I mean, one thing after another to this poor guy. And in most cases, people don't realize how simple it is to get your identity stolen and the different places that it can get stolen at.
Now, what happened? He just went to get a new phone. And the clerk, I guess, somehow took down his information, sold it online, and then money launderers got a hold of money of his.
Again,
am I getting ahead of the...
No, it's fine. All crime seems petty and harmless. So you got these clerks. It could be a clerk at a phone store. It could be someone else. And they sell the information. They get good money. Times are so tough for everybody. They look to supplement it. But there's no honor anymore, no decency. And the one thing nobody should use, and everybody uses, it's against the law, is people's social security numbers for identification, even if it's the last four digits. So he gets a call from a scammer to try and get the rest of the information. So why do people fall into these scams? He gets an IRS. Oh, we got a warrant for your arrest. Oh, my God, I got a warrant. And I laugh because this is so true. And I can't believe this friend of mine now fell for it. But before I could get to him and smack the phone out of his hand, he gave him the number. I said, what'd you do? He said, I had a warrant. I said, how many times did you get locked up last week? 3. Okay. They never called you to say we got a warrant. And it's the IRS. They want money. They don't want to lock people up unless you're political. Anyway, that's another show. what happens? Nobody knows this guy's name, DJ. And we're not going to spoil it here.
No, there's a surprise at the end of the book.
Everybody in the world except his mother and God knows why he was named DJ. And so when this person got on the phone and said his real name, it caught him off guard. He says, the date of birth. Yeah, that's my date of birth. With your last four digits of your social security is blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so people start, that's why they trust these people. They have
some information.
Some information that sounds credible. Well, let's make sure it's not you and give me your full social security number just to make sure it's not some other DJ. And that's what he did. He gave them the information and then it gets sold off and there's different reasons why they get sold off and different people that use that information and people don't even realize how it so.
Now, the star in this book has two actual adventures that you get sucked into as a police officer. The one adventure is his wife, as you said, becomes addicted. Hooks up with this guy, Rafa. Rafa is a member of MS-13, which I want you to talk about that, who puts a hit on this guy, DJ, who is an acquaintance of yours. And at the same time, he gets involved with his money laundering, which you were talking about with the his personal ID got corrupted. And
how it's used.
And how it's used. He went to Africa, got money out of his account.
You're jumping way ahead.
So, explain this.
So the cop said, listen, you had your identity stolen. Don't worry about it. Your wife already bought cars. She's ruined your credit, ran up every credit card in this
process. This is with her boyfriend.
And that's what divorced people do. They get bitter and they just start. I said, whoever this criminal is going to sell your information to is going to get beat up because... You know, it's such a horrible credit. They're not going to get anything off of it. But his friends, he was a janitor. He worked for an accounting firm. And they're like, oh, you got to sign up for credit protection credit. So he signs up. He's getting all the junk mail. He's going through it. And all of a sudden he sees, oh, did you ever check your credit overseas? Something made him do it. So he signs up for it. Boom. Gets a hit right away. A bank account in Africa. Some third world. I mean, not to say it's Africa. It's some country in Africa. It's not.
It's a third world country.
Third world country. It's classified as that. Somebody put an account in his name. It has $5 million in it. So he goes to the guy at the head of the accounting firm. Is this real? Is this another scam? Let me check into it. He checks in and comes back. It's all real. This is an account. It's your name. You can go get that money. He tells the cop. Cop says, stay away from it. You have no idea who or what could be involved in this. It could be MS-13's reach. That's what DJ keeps thinking. But whatever. It's international. Stay away. If you had a lottery ticket, all you had to do is claim it, even though it might not have been yours, and it's $5 million, it's eating at him. So as you let out of the bag,
of course,
he goes for it. And then the world of Shimola that happens to this poor guy and the poor cop. I think the cop wound up worse at the end than he did.
Who, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yes, that's me.
Okay. I know this is hard to follow because he didn't read the book. It's an absolutely amazing book. You can get it on the internet, stungthebook.com. I'm here with David Tyoon. Go ahead.
It's also available at Amazon and Border Books and all the other big outlets, as well as the digital versions.
Okay, now we're gonna stay on the topic, but we're gonna slightly veer off. On the phone right now, we have Richard Helfand, who is the CEO of Lucy the Elephant, right down the street from you, and he has a message for us. Rich, are you there?
I'm here, Doc. How are you this morning?
Good.
This afternoon.
Yep. All right, fill us in. What's going on with Lucy? Her cover is off. She's been bathed by the fire department. What's next?
Well, first of all, greetings from New York City. Jason and I are here, just heading back to Atlantic City now. Jason is with me. He's our board vice president, Jason Tell.
Hello.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Doc.
So, yes, Doc, the scaffolding is down. Covering is off. Lucy looks absolutely spectacular. And why wouldn't you after a $2.4 million facelift, you know?
Wow.
But the park has been redone, and we're getting geared up for our grand unveiling ceremony next Wednesday, December 28th at 5:30 in the evening, and the public is invited.
That's great. I have David Tyoon here, who wrote a book called Stung, which is based in Atlantic City, right down the street. He was a police officer.
Yes, I know David. How are you, David?
Oh, my gosh.
Good. Yeah, it's a great organization these guys have. They love that, and it's an icon. It really is.
I'm on the board of directors. I love it, too.
And I won't hold that against them. the sad part, I'd have to admit, is I didn't go until I had kids.
Oh, my gosh.
And once I went through it, I go with
I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are.
It doesn't matter how old.
It's
you don't
just,
have to
It's
have
amazing.
Kids. It's really one of them pieces of history that will never, ever get redone.
Can you tell us about what's going to happen Wednesday night?
Sure. Well, we're going to have, as I said, the ceremony starts at 5:30. So originally, when this 8-month project was supposed to be over in 8 months, we would have been able to have our grand opening, you know, in warmer weather, and we would have been able to drape Lucy behind behind some type of material to hide her, and then just do a grand reveal. But given that we're now in month 15 of the 8-month project and it's wintertime and the winds are much stronger there at the Jersey Shore right in Margate because we're between two high rises. So there's sort of a wind tunnel there all the time.
Yep.
So we couldn't do that whole cloak thing because it's just too dangerous. So instead of doing that, we're going to unveil her with a shower of light in a spectacular light show. Atlantic City Electric is going to shut off all the lights around her in the afternoon on the 28th. So it'll be dark. We're going to have a stage set up, have a few guest speakers, including the mayor of Margate, Mayor Mike Becker, and the state executive director of travel and tourism, Jeff Vassar. A couple other people will speak. I'll speak. Our board president will. After which, there's going to be an awesome light show on her, and then, boom, she'll be flooded in light, and there she'll be in all of her glory.
That sounds amazing. I'll be there. I'm going to make you guys come. Caitlin Files, attorney, Workman's Comp. And
I'll go.
Kimmy, you're going to be there?
I hope so.
All right, Rich.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for filling us in, and hopefully we'll get a big turnout.
Thank you, Doc. Thanks for the opportunity to be on your show. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and your listeners. Wish everybody that listens to you a very Merry Christmas from all of us at Lucy the Elephant.
Thank you, Rich. Have a safe trip, pal.
Thank you.
All right, let's get back to David Tyune. The book is Stung, One Man Trying to Get Even. You can get this on the internet, stungthebook.com. All right, couple of questions for you. Is it true that AC is the largest gateway for terrorists into the country?
When you read the book, you'll understand why the statement's there. It was a horrific situation. Law enforcement was brought in. To rectify it, again to the detriment of the poor retired cop.
Is that you?
Yeah. It is what it is. The book has so much truth in it. We had to make it a fiction, and I can't go into too many details on certain things because I'm already in trouble for putting stuff in.
Oh no. In your opinion, because I saw this in your book also, human trafficking surpasses the drug trade in Atlantic City?
That's a sad truth. I've been on a couple of the committees that are talking about it down there. It is. I mean, and people don't understand how pervasive it really is in society.
And this is all in your book.
Well, you know, I try and keep it true. I try and keep it as close to the real story that
it's very
was.
Sombering.
Your
book really gives you an insight into the streets of Atlantic City and what goes on
a little bit
behind
of
the scenes. I live down there. I'm at the. I don't want to say where I live, but I live right across the street from where your book takes place. All right, I have to ask you. There were two shootouts at your shop.
Infection.
Okay. I was going to say absolutely crazy.
No, the shop closed because I had heart issues.
There wasn't any shootouts there.
No.
Okay, because your book is so exciting. You can't put it down. It's absolutely amazing.
But, you know, it's not like, oh, we got him at the airport. It's all done. There's a little lackluster there. So
No. Now, when he had that money in his account, I'm talking about DJ that was in Africa, Levy.
Well, was it really his account? Somebody else set it up. It's their
But it was
account.
In his name. Yeah, it's his name.
Go ahead.
Did he really go to Africa to get the money out? Okay. No. All right. That made it more exciting. And all right, how much did he finally end up with? Can you talk about that? Now, Marla, pay attention. I see you goofing off over there in the corner. This is all about what streets was this taking part on? When DJ the picnic?
I'm leaving the streets that are in the book because it's other than the area of the bay by Texas Avenue and Florida Avenue.
This is all around where we live.
I mean,
anybody.
We have Bettner Avenue around Trenton Avenue.
His book is like written that. About. He's an ex police officer. He was retired.
I know ex. You're acting like he is like married to the police force, but technically, I guess you were.
Well, no.
You caught yourself.
here's a little lingo. An ex officer is somebody who was
ex out of the.
Oh, that's a good point.
You were in trouble. You didn't leave on good terms. And it's so common to say ex cop.
Yeah. But ex-husband.
So I'm
ex-friend.
Sorry, I make issue of it. But
no,
yes,
you're right. I think that's
issue.
A good point.
I'm a retired officer.
Yeah, that means it's like in a better name that you're no longer with the police force, but you'll always be with the police force. Basically, your heart's always there.
Well, right. There is a line in the book when DJ was razzing the cop and said, "Oh, you're a cop. Once a cop, always a cop."
Yeah.
And I think the cop said, "No, I think you got that wrong with the police hood." Priesthood. Either you go, most people go into the police department, and I say most of them, the vast majority of them, to help people.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your blood. I grew up with my dad, Jim Tayun, the famous councilman.
Now you're going to do a book about him. You're thinking about that also, or?
Well, there's a sequel to this one, and then we're going to do a prequel.
How far along are you in the sequel to this book?
I'm trying to wrap it up. I keep saying it's a chapter, but it's probably another 2-3 chapters.
When I met you on the beach, now I've known his brother Jimmy. We went to college together.
So
I've known him. Oh,
I wanted to interject
here.
Okay, so you're talking about the Jimmy Tayun, the vascular surgeon, right?
Is my brother.
It's your brother. Because I'm looking at you. You look just like him.
Yeah, I showed her a picture.
So
now and then I'll sneak in the casino. Yes, another whatever they call it, check for...
Oh, my God. So I actually worked with your brother over a number of years. I'm a nurse. You know, I was trained before I got in the pharmaceutical industry.
And Miss America. Go ahead. That's here.
I cannot. I mean, he's like interjecting. You're the reason why I'm late. I'll tell you in a minute.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, so your brother did an amazing, I have a small story. I already
told everybody.
You already
saved your grandfather's life.
So, yeah. So I worked for Gerardo DeCaro Brevetti, which is a cardiology group in South Philly from Jefferson. That's where I went to school. And that's how I met your brother through Methodist, and we used to refer a lot of patients for his care, pacemakers, insertions, and et cetera. So my grandfather calls me, and I'm across the street at the hospital, and he tells me he's feeling lightheaded, and he feels like he's dizzy, and he's just not right. So I go over to his house, which is right across the street from the hospital, and we had these little devices called heart cards. So we were able to actually record the EKG electronically, even back then in the late 90s, and send it over a landline, and it would print out an EKG in the office. So I would know exactly what was going on with him. Here, he was in complete heart block, and I called your brother. I was like, Jim, I'm like, this is my grandpa. I'm like, you know, and not that he's more important than any other patient, but I'm like, he's literally, like, on his butt right now. So, like, I got to get him in. He's like, I'll meet you in 15 minutes. Met him in the OR. He popped the pacer right in my grandfather. You know, everything went really well without a hitch, and he did awesome. So he fixed them. Like, he's a miracle worker.
Oh, yeah.
So I love him. And he's
very
so responsive.
Good. He's very talented, but, mm-hmm. you know, you're the witness. Mm-hmm. I am better looking, and I am thin.
You know, is he listening right now?
I don't know if he is.
Jim, if you're listening,
Be careful, because I'm sending him a copy of this show.
No, he is awesome. And I do remember him always being a nice-looking guy, and all the ladies did in the day in the hospital.
As
soon as I saw him, I was
this
like,
is supposed
it's like
to be
Jimmy
my
Jr.
show. It's all about Marla.
Yeah, now.
Marla.
Listen.
Jan.
Oh,
is it Marsha?
Don't tell
me nothing.
Something so funny about that. You're going
to
die.
Don't forget to mention that when I am.
Poor Joe.
You're going to die.
Joe's been castrated.
Joe doesn't have a mic.
Joe, why don't you look through the window at us having fun? No, stay here, Joe. I was joking.
Yes. Well, I do want to apologize for coming in.
Oh, my God.
You helped me out.
It's all about Marla.
And then. And I have the funniest story to tell you about that.
Oh, gosh.
And then I saw Joe D, and he had donuts, and then, you know, we're chit-chatting.
It was the first show I'm late in 7 years. Now, I'm never on time, but I'm never late.
No.
I think you've all seen me. I live, by the way, 2 minutes from here, 5 minutes in East Falls. But I was doing a show. Shout out to the Giving the Spotlight Hour. We were pre-recording it. It airs tomorrow at 2 o'clock. But I was up in Montgomery County, and so I knew. By the way, I knew Dr. Jim was going to be able to do the show.
Oh boy!
But I want to shout out.
But I was
your
looking
father.
Through Joe. I have to tell you, I was looking through the window, yelling at the guys. What's he expect me to do?
Yeah, I knew you had to come. Your father on the public record.
In the Middle East restaurant.
I did the labor show. I still do it, and he would put all of our content in the public record. And so, I mean, talk about an icon of South Philly.
It's wonderful what we got here, Joe Dock.
Yeah. So my dad was a labor leader.
David Tyoon.
Knew your father.
Stung the book.
Yeah. So it's great to be. By the way, I've heard nothing but great things about the book.
Thank you.
So congratulations. Fantastic.
Well, I'm going to open up the phone lines, 888-329-3306. If anybody wants to call in and talk about the book or ask any questions about the book Stung.
I can't wait to read
stungthebook.com. Oh, you better read it because it's all about where we live in the neighborhood and what goes on behind the scenes.
Maybe I don't want to read it.
Oh, it makes you think twice.
Okay, I changed my mind.
Unfortunately,
all those convenience stores that we go to for like milk, eggs, you know, that are on Ventnor Avenue. I'm not saying all of them.
Well, in Philly, a lot of those stores were fronts. We know that. Man.
I wouldn't say they're. I don't know, Dave. Talk about this.
Of course, they're.
Talk
fronts.
About your book.
Well, it's not a front. It's a service they provide.
Yeah.
It goes outside of the legal norms that we use and everything.
It's not all of them.
Struggling to survive, but not all of them.
No, it's not all of them.
I was joking.
But it's a lot of them.
Most of the information I got in this book along those lines came from my close ties to those people, the type of people in that community. And thank God, again, we were talking about my dad being a cop for so many years. I went out of my way to help people. And just because you don't speak the language, this and that, doesn't mean you're a citizen. Or you may be a citizen, but you will be a citizen, and I'm going to try and help you and direct you. And over the years, I got very close to a lot of people in the immigrant communities of different nationalities.
Right. Now, we have on the line, we have here, not on the line, David Tyoon, who is the son of the late, great Jimmy Tyoon.
Oh, yeah.
From the Middle East restaurant, on the record.
The public record. By the way, all those, a lot of those places that may have had, you would mention the fronts and the people who were running them. Caitlin Files was behind every one of them, running every one of them. Just kidding.
But get back on point. We're talking about the book.
Wait, we're never on point.
Frank Furman. Let me just say this. I have another question for you. Frank Furman, he was the FBI agent that was helping you with this situation with the MS-13 and the Middle Eastern strike force that was coming to get this guy DJ.
No.
No.
His name ain't Furman.
I thought it was Frank Furman in the book. Anyway, this guy Frank, who was the FBI agent.
I don't even think I gave him a last name. No, we did give him a last name. I don't remember.
I know more about this book than you do. I love it so much.
I'm so busy into the second book.
Anyway, answer this question. Is it true that this guy, Frank, that you worked with from the FBI, his father was involved in the investigation?
Not his father.
I mean, oh my gosh, I have everything mixed up. We have somebody on the phone. Okay.
But yes, it's true. It's true. Actually, Frank himself
was involved in your father's investigation.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So much Philly history is in this, too.
When I started rubbing the certain things in the police department the wrong way, they came to investigate me on some false accusations, and they're like, well, we investigated your dad, and I'm like, okay, so.
Okay.
And then when he came to me later, he's like, oh, I cleared you of that. No, you didn't. I didn't do anything wrong. You just proved that I didn't do anything wrong.
Wow. All right, well, we have a caller on the line. Please put them through that has a question for David on his book, Stung. Go ahead, caller. We don't have a name.
It's Lisa.
Oh, it's Lisa. Oh, hi, Lisa. Thank you for calling in. You have a question?
Yeah. This book sounds amazing. Is there really MS-13 in Atlantic City?
It was so pervasive just a few years ago. And when the administration tightened up the border and stuff, they didn't go away. They vanished into the background, and and I guess they're drawing less attention to themselves now. But yes, it is very.
Oh my
pervasive.
God, that's scary. Is it safe to visit the casinos? And
Atlantic
stuff?
City is a very, very safe place. Listen, for decades, everybody gives Atlantic City a poor rap, and the problem is, if you go looking for trouble in Atlantic City, you're going to find it
real
and,
fast.
If you're into looking for drugs, it's going to be in the bad areas where you're going to get robbed. On top of it, there's unfortunately where the other cities bus ticket to take care of their homeless problem. They keep dumping homeless people from almost a tri-state county. They just give them a bus fare to Atlantic City.
Really?
You see a lot more of them on the street than we care to. But they're working on it. Every administration tries. Some do better than others. But yeah, a lot of this stuff in the book. But Atlantic City is a very, very safe place to go. I wouldn't still live there if that was the case.
Yeah, I agree with you with that. And the one thing that I noticed with Atlantic City during the time of COVID and the riots and everything, when it was popular, I guess, to sort of break into storefronts and shatter everything and steal everything in sight.
Was that what you were doing?
Yeah. Did you know? I'm sorry.
She tried to, but they
put
it up too
that's
fast.
That's in the next book. But
Marla Unleashed.
Listen, I'm making a point about Atlantic City. I also have a place in Atlantic City. And I just purchased another place in Atlantic City because I love it so much. It has a culture to it. But the point I was making to back it up was during COVID, during those riots and when everybody was breaking in everything, they went down to the outlets. And I'm sure you probably know that they vandalized the outlets and broke into it. And Mayor Smalls did like a community cleanup project. And all the people in Atlantic City went out to the streets, particularly to the outlets, to clean it up. All the people of Atlantic City. So I give them a shout out for that because, you know, sometimes in those cities, it's not made up that way. You know, people could care less and they'll just destroy it again. And after that, it never got broken into again, to my knowledge.
Now, as a cop who used to work the midnight to 8 shift in the morning, we had one saying, there's two type of people out after midnight. Can anybody tell me who? Two types. Come on, quick. We're wasting air time.
Drunk people and people who are trying to get more drunk.
Nope. Criminals.
Criminals.
And victims.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, ooh. And sometimes the criminals, well, sometimes the victims thought they were criminals.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So you were a cop on the streets in Atlantic City? Like
I was
in
uniform patrol for most of my career, yes.
Wow.
I did receive Officer of the Year for actions I've taken in 1998, where I got 18 guns off the street, which tied the record of another officer. I don't know if that record ever got broken yet.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it didn't.
That'd 18 guns off the street, like
myself.
In the same shift? Or like
within that year.
Oh, that's awesome.
21 stolen cars, more dope than the entire vice department, and I was in uniform patrol answering every 911 call.
Wow.
So back then.
That's amazing.
You could find a lot of action going on. The casinos were booming, mm-hmm. you know, and every vice in the world was there. And again, even then, the city was safe. Unless you went too far looking for trouble.
Do you think the city's going to come back? Because we hear and see so many different things right now about, like, how they're building up AC, and they have the showboat now. They made it into, like, a kid's, like, Dave & Buster's. They have the racetrack, all these different fun things that are coming. But, you know, I think the average person still kind of feels a little bit.
I'm involved in some of them projects, and they're amazing. And the group of people putting them together, it's
awesome.
Phenomenal. You're going to see a renaissance, but will the city grab it and keep it moving is another story. They had a great renaissance with the casinos. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to get out of looking for our own pockets as politicians and look for the greater good.
Yeah.
Look for the, but that's why I lost elections twice, because doing the right thing and doing politics are two different things.
Are you still involved with politics, David?
Are you ever not?
Yeah.
I try not to be. Of course, certain businesses that I am in, it's shunned upon. So, but I can't tell people, they come to me and they ask me my advice, this and that. They ask me to look into things. I'm going to do it.
All right. Tell us what the future holds for you, David, and your book.
Well, when I did this, I never thought I'd be an author. Again, this incident actually happened and everybody I told the story to said, this is a great book. You got to write a book. This happened just before the pandemic. Pandemic hit. I had nothing but time on my hands because my business is crawled to nothing. So I hooked up with a publishing phenomenal lady who helped me grammatically make the book as good as it can be, since I'm a Philadelphia public educated child.
Wow. I love him. Oh boy. Call it like it is.
I didn't say anything about that.
Listen, you're speaking very, very well right now. And I'm sure, you know, your sentences in those books will reflect.
He's a Tyune. They're as sharp as razors. Every single one of them.
It's in his blood.
Or we're just like sledgehammers.
Do you have a black belt in karate?
We started to, no, not a black belt.
Okay. How about your wife, Maria?
No. That's a whole
funny
story.
Oh, my gosh.
Hold on.
I memorized your book.
So.
I love David.
I can't take you.
So the lady who was doing this said, I never seen this in all my staff. Each one of them who's an editor wants to know when your next chapter's coming in.
Oh, wow.
You know, you're gonna get a two-book deal. I'm like, no two-book deal. This was one and done. So I had to change the characters around. I mean, Jimmy wasn't Jimmy. It was some Irish cop and an Irish wife. And, you know
those Irish people.
The whole, you have to.
Well, it's typical. Cops are Irish, usually Irish. You know, you want to be. But then I changed the story around. So there is a second edition, which would be the logical follow-up to the end of this story. And at the very end of that, if that all goes well, I am going to do a prequel that my dad did about his life story. And he just couldn't get it published by the time he passed away. And I'm going to have to change the story, so it'll be a co-author thing. Mm-hmm. And we'll see where it goes from there. Not answer your question, because I forgot what your question
was. That's right. Nobody answers my questions anyway. I'm insignificant. All right, I think we're going to hit the commercial, and we'll be back with Caitlin Files.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not just, you know, working with my physical disabilities, I was emotionally broken. I remember thinking, how did I get here? How? It was affecting me in my marriage. My husband, he didn't know how to help me. He actually called Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project had this thing called Couples Odyssey.
It was an eye-opener, and I think it really saved our marriage.
They gave us books and resources and tools on how to help us with that.
I just love him. I love you, honey.
I love you too.
Watching her fight for her mental health, fighting for other veterans, fighting for this family, helped me to fight too. Well, I always loved her, but I love her 10 times more for that.
Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/notalone.
Hi, I'm Cody DiPablo. Cancer, we don't want to think about it, but I had to because, well, I was busy working, traveling, enjoying life, completely forgot to pay attention to my health. Too much time passed since my last PAP. By the time I was tested, things didn't look too good. We thought I might have cervical cancer. Cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. I was lucky. After lots of worries, no cancer. I've always been very close to my mother. When we finally got good results, she broke down. And that's when I realized it's not just about me. It's about your loved ones, too. So women, get a Pap test to check for cervical cancer and get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
Hello there, this is Nat King Cole wishing you all a happy and a Merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots. Toys, toys, toys for tots. Some have too many, some haven't any. If those who have give those who haven't, oh, what a Christmas day. The Marine Reserve will help you, will help you fill your sleigh with lots and lots of toys for tots. So give a little toy today.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping Santa fill his sleigh, making happier holidays for deserving children right in your community. Go to toysfortots.org and learn how you can make a difference.
Hey, hey, hey.
We're back on the air.
My God. This show's like on LSD.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like all over.
I'm having a sugar rush. Leave me alone. Caitlin Files, Workman's Comp Attorney. Hello. Can we open the lines? 888-329-3306. If anybody has any workman's comp questions. All right, talk to us. How is your practice? What are you doing?
Honestly, my head is still on the streets of Atlantic City right now. I was so enthralled with that conversation.
A little scary.
I know. It was great. My practice is going well. It's
the name of the practice is?
Sorry, what?
The name of the practice?
Oh, the Law Office of Caitlin Files. Very original.
Yeah, my head.
No, that's smart. That's easy smart. And simple. How do clients get in contact with you?
So they can either find us through the Google search. We're all over Instagram, social media. We just joined some unions, so we're going to be on some of the union websites popping up. We're all over the place.
Wait, can you mention the union or no?
It's through some union website that we're going to be there, work comp. Oh, go okay. To. So when good. You click on, it's like pro union something. And yeah. You click on there. Yep. That's it. Yeah. Caitlin Files.
That's what I'm talking about.
I know you're a big union guy.
Yeah, I am. Absolutely.
A big union guy. Well, Steelworker Joe.
Well, hold on for a second.
Oh, boy.
This is an inside joke. If I mention it during a work injury conversation, which we are having right now, that I was an iron worker.
Hold on.
Oh my
it always
God.
Makes me laugh
I'm done.
For some
he
starts
reason. To, hold I'm on. Done. We're going to start bringing wine into this show.
He starts oh gosh, to, it'll really go down.
He starts to laugh and then make this sound.
another steel worker joke. A story.
No, that's cool. So
Kate's office is only half a mile from my office.
Yes, we are down the street from each
other. Dr. Sanjay Bignotti.
Yes.
In the house.
Literally down the street from
making
each other.
His, that's awesome. Making his grand entrance.
Yeah. Now, how about that? Fashionably late. Always fashionably late.
Caitlin, just so you understand, Dr. Bignotti's been here since 6 o'clock in the morning drinking coffee in the other room. But he comes in with the grand appearance. It's, normally there's trumpets going, but
well, he knows he can't get on the microphone.
TJ's somewhat new and has never run the stage. It's just, no, I'm just kidding. But he doesn't know how to do the trumpets, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I have to take care of my daughter this morning, so everything else just comes after.
You're darn right.
Now, Caitlin, do you do anything else besides workman's comp or just...
We do Social Security disability as well. So we
which can go hand
that.
In hand.
Right. So yep. Anyone that has a work comp case, if they have a good SSD case as well, we just handle them both at the same time.
And first thing somebody should do when they get injured, besides the obvious thing is this. Don't worry about the arm. We'll get that into ice. Before you actually get the, pick up all the fingers that you just cut off, find a way to get in touch with Caitlin Files.
So say, call
what
me
would your advice be
injury?
If someone's listening and they have or a family member has been recently injured at their employment? What should they do?
Tell their employer. A lot of people you find actually haven't reported the injury yet. They're trying to shake it off. They don't want to get any backlash at work, but it just comes down to going to be a problem in the end if they don't report it. So reporting the injury is probably the first thing that they need to do and the most important.
Caitlin has the best logo ever, and she her signage and her branding is awesome.
And the business cards, Joe loves the business
cards. I love them.
Let me see the business card.
Caitlin, while you're doing that, it's really important. Like, I suffered an accident on the job, ended my career. I didn't feel like I was hurt, like she's saying, but I was aware that I had to. I went to my sergeant. I said, "Look, I got this lump. I don't know. It just." Doesn't feel right. I wasn't in any pain. I got to go get checked out. So it's documented. It's so important what you said. And most people don't know that.
Yeah. Oh, you know what's
documented?
Well, yeah. David was hurt at his employment.
Of course, me, my career.
Nice. Well, it ended his career.
My next door neighbor's a police officer, and he's, thank you. These are the coolest. By the way, you can.
You know what? I think of when I see this, and honestly, and this is what a creative marketing, I love marketing stuff. What's the first thing you think of when you see this card?
James Bond. It's like a real cool card.
I'll take it.
No, go ahead. Anybody Jamie else? Bond. One word, if you can describe this. Let me see who nails it. First thing when you look at this business card.
VIP card or some kind of like it, you put it in.
Next.
Go ahead.
Elegant.
Buzz.
Elegant is not the word, but that is true. And Jim, what do you say?
You sent me a video and it's inappropriate.
No, that's not it.
Yes, it is.
That's the baby video. Stay focused with me. What do you see when you look at this business card?
KF.
Anybody else?
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to be tested. I'm tired.
Kim, what do you say?
Different? I don't know.
Caitlin Files business card.
It's very
cool. It's nice. It's beautiful.
Okay, like, I'm going to help you all. Sanjay, come on. We're the brains of the table
the
over here
this.
Besides Caitlin. Sanjay and I. I'm just kidding. Sanjay, what do you say? Come on, one word.
Oh my God, you are wasting so much
cool.
air time.
No, I'm not. Listen, and I'm gonna sum this
if
all
we beg,
up.
Please. Does that help?
I'm gonna sum this all up for Caitlin.
Go ahead.
Transparency.
Wow. Oh, nobody would ever have guessed that in a million years. Why are you doing
this? Right on the tip of my tongue.
This is a think tank right here.
By the way, Kate, Sanjay, where's your wife?
Equals transparency.
So I just asked Drew. This is the wildness.
This show makes no sense.
This is the wildness. Craziest show.
Caitlin,
you didn't expect this, did you?
Oh, do we have a caller? Or are they gone?
They're like, we're out.
Oh, you said there was a caller, so
yeah,
what are you waiting?
We did, but it was likely not for our workers' comp question, so I couldn't.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'd get Caitlin on at 5 of.
I don't want to be rude.
And she, Caitlin only drove from Ben Salem, so we're going
to
get.
Even further, just from Yardley. It was an hour drive to get to you guys.
That's right. Well, we're going
to
make.
Dedicated I am to this show.
So David was talking about giving notice and the fact that sometimes people don't know they have a work injury that's
right.
It could be catastrophic and career ending when it actually happens.
Right.
And so they don't report it. What are the consequences of not reporting your work injury? Even though I know you have 120 days to do it.
Correct. Look at him. He knows his work comp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got that right. But they don't give you a big trophy ceremony if you don't report it because you suck it up because you're a team player and all those things. On Friday, you come back on Monday, and now all of a sudden, you're waiting for the big, oh, this guy's a man. He's hung it up, but he's still hurt. No, they may hold it against you, right?
Right. So a lot of times, let's say you get hurt on a Friday, I'm going to take the weekend, I'm going to shake it off, I'll come back on Monday, I'll be totally fine. You wake up on Monday morning, you can't work, you're having problems, you go in and report it. Their first thought is, well, what was he doing over the weekend? Why didn't he report it on Friday? This definitely happened at home. So if you don't report, I always tell people, well, you're still at work, report it. Because as soon as you leave that property, they're going to wonder what else happened after you left.
David, you said you had an injury at work when you were a police officer. And right away, you didn't realize how bad it was.
My police car in front of a stolen car speeding through the city to stop it from hitting people who were walking.
Oh my!
And a blue disc out of my neck and lower back. Didn't realize it at the time because you're so hyped up. And to the point, like I said, the sergeant said, go to the hospital. And they took x-rays. And so I never made it back to work because they seen the damage. But I didn't feel anything. I felt normal.
That adrenaline.
7 days to the incident. Then, oh my God, I thought I was dead. I was in so much pain.
But that was what happened to my wife. What a small at Princeton and Frankfurt.
But you know that makes
small accident.
as a pseudo doctor, it actually makes a lot of sense because discs are avascular. They're very slow in responding with injuries, and sometimes when somebody gets injured, 3-4 days later, a week later, that's how long it takes for the disc to swell and cause its damage.
Now,
that's your specialty.
Dr. Madnani?
All the time.
Yeah. People think, you know, oh, I got hurt. I'm okay. You know, I'm fine. 1 week later, bang. That if it's a disc injury, it hits later.
And having said that, I know we know it. I'm an iron worker, okay? I saw it face. I'm sorry. I blew that one. But my point is, doesn't the insurance companies know it too? Come on. But they know.
It doesn't matter. It just comes down to the bottom dollar for them. They don't really care about the person and getting an understanding of what could have happened. There might be another excuse here. Let's deny it and make them fight for
the
benefits.
One of these days, when I'm filing for my workers' compensation insurance for my business, I'm actually going to ask the individual selling the broker to me, selling the insurance to me. What happened? I know I'm buying this insurance, but what happens if somebody actually has to use it? Tell me how they're going to be treated, even though we all know. Then when they say to me, because they're a salesperson, oh, yeah, I'm going to go, cool. I want you to listen to some radio shows and tell me I want you to listen to some people that beg to differ. But so you really never know when it's a catastrophic injury, right? I mean.
Well, sometimes it's obvious.
No, you know that, but I'm saying right. You never, like an injury like David's, even though that's a big car accident, I've seen guys pull the, working with a beater in this and pull something and they think it's okay, but you know they're not.
Well, most people who get injured aren't doctors, so they don't know what's going on. They don't know what symptoms to expect. And I mean, David so sounds true. Like he had this horrible car crash, and he doesn't feel anything for even a week to understand what's going on with his lumbar spine or his neck, whatever disc it was.
The sad part, and I tell this to people all the time, I was in worse accidents as a police officer. This one didn't seem as bad.
Yeah.
And so I didn't expect to feel anything because I didn't feel anything in the other ones. Depends and on I was fine. Except forces, for that one nagging something felt a little off.
And that's what happens a lot. A mechanism of injury might not seem that traumatic. It's, oh, I turned funny. I didn't do anything bad. Or I was in this kind of accident where it almost was a little bit of whiplash, but it wasn't. There was no real damage done. You don't know how much damage you could have actually done to
your body. Normally what happens when somebody gets injured, they'll say to the, especially on jobs I've been on, you call the boss and say, tell me what I do. And then you end up with these people called panel physicians. Who are not.
You love talking about panel physicians.
I love talking about them.
Joe hates their guts.
Damn, everybody's doing fine.
What's that?
Panel physicians. Yeah, everybody's doing
the arm actually grows back. Don't worry about it.
They sent him back light duty for 2 weeks. Then you go back
now,
to work.
David. You had to get a lawyer, right? Yeah. Like Caitlin Files to help you out with your workman's comp.
It's even worse. I had to get a lawyer, and I had to sue my car insurance because I was in a car because the city's insurance was denying stuff. I mean, it was a total nightmare.
Well,
and my brother, who's a surgeon, said, you're not letting these people operate on you. You're going to go here, get checked out. Whatever that guy says, that's what you're going to do. And he's like, there's nothing we can do for you. You're not going to be a cop anymore. So why have all this horrific surgery done? Wait till you can't physically move anymore. That's when we'll address it. And, yeah, I wish I had Caitlin, but, you know, I got what I got.
And normally that's what happens. You end up asking your employer, what's up with, I mean, why you talk about the panel situations. We have doctors on the set right here that obviously treat their patients like you're supposed to be treated. But at the same time, in those situations, you walk in as if, especially if you've never been hurt, that's a total shock to somebody how the world is turned upside down. What's up with that?
So the panel physicians have the unique opportunity of seeing the injured worker almost immediately after the injury, within a week, a couple of days, whatever. But they, unfortunately, are almost the first point of contact for medical treatment for injured workers. And a lot of judges rely very heavily on that first point of contact. It's the doctor who saw the injured worker closest in time to the injury. They probably know best. They know that, oh, it's just a sprain or strain. They're fine. They can go back to work. But a lot of times the panel providers are the ones that are getting the repeat business from the insurance companies and from the employers. So that's why you're seeing, as Dr. Benani said, a lot of, oh, the arm's hanging off, but it's okay. They can do restricted duty. They're not really hurt because they want to get that repeat customer coming back to keep sending the workers to them. They're not writing them totally out of work. So they're not essentially losing their workers.
That is so true, because I had a patient who had a drop ceiling go into his neck, cut the nerves to his brachial plexus, and he had paralysis of his arm. He went to a panel physician. This is when I was first in practice. The panel physician told him he could do another line of work with his good arm.
Yep.
Can you believe that?
Now, it's not a blanket panel physician. Now, some doctors are on panels. They don't even realize it. And they'll be like, I didn't even know I was on this panel. But you see a lot of repeat doctors over and over and over.
And I'll ask Sanjay, Dr. Manati, when somebody walks into the office after getting beat up like that and they're totally shell-shocked because they never met a doctor that looked at them across the room and told them they were okay and their arm was, you know, they couldn't pick their shoulder up. Where do you take that? Especially if they haven't had diagnostics.
Well, first of all, I kind of feel that as a whole system, nobody has been honest to them. They don't know their rights, medical rights, legal rights, and sometimes they don't even realize or feel that they need some support. And once they start getting that from a doctor, from an attorney who cares for them, then in a few days, I mean, you really have somebody who realizes how much help they needed to begin with,
right.
He or she. They just think, okay, you know, I was hurt. I'm going to go through this doctor.
What's the purpose of individuals, and Caitlin, I'm sure you've seen this, where they don't even have diagnostics? So you're only as hurt as the medical
report. They never
reports.
Do diagnostics.
A lot of times it'll just be like, here's an X-ray. X-ray's fine. You're fine. But they're almost doing it on purpose because they just want to see no fractured bones, but you're missing the whole point of the MRI. So they're totally just saying their diagnostic's fine. That's why we sent them back to work, while they're knowingly putting their head in the sand, not going to get the MRI or CT scan.
And talk about the contingency fee. So somebody can call you up and flat out tell you, I mean, you know, like literally, you know, what their situation is from point A to point, and you can consult with them, and there's no out-of-pocket cost. But even if they retain you, there's no out-of-pocket cost.
There's never, with my firm, there's never out-of-pocket costs. We cover everything, and if we lose, we eat the cost. If we win, the insurance company pays us back. But contingency fee, it's a flat fee of 20% for work comp. So if you win, we get 20% of what we get for you. If we lose, you never pay us. We have to eat that as well.
I have my own work comp firm. It's Doherty Law, and I charge 90%, and
for
I want 10 grand raise. Soon as you
for steel
in,
workers.
I want it in cash, and I want it in the bag. But that's I could have been in the book there, Dave. But I'd be...
Wait, Joe, let's stop. I got to ask this question. What's going on with your hair?
You're not
going
to test this again, are you?
Are you taking collagen or something for that head of hair of yours?
Listen.
What is going on over there?
Wait a minute. Wasn't your head like mine? Weren't you bald? What the heck grew
don't
on
let them talk to you like that, Joe. I don't even know
if it's hair.
I saw it when I went in the bathroom.
What the heck is that on your head?
What the hell is going on over there?
Is it a squirrel? Well, here's the thing. I went in the bathroom. I looked at it and I went, I just turned and kept walking.
He was like this, chicka chicka chicka, and he walked out.
You knew Marla was coming.
Hold on. It sure does make me look taller, though, doesn't it?
Dude, that's what I was just getting at. I was like,
I'm 5'10 right now. Anybody got a problem?
Would that be a case of abuse, verbal abuse at work? Like, is there such thing as mental anguish?
Are you an employee here, though?
Hold on.
I am.
If I slip off and hurt my back when it happens, right now, if I get up, if I was to get up and go towards Marla and she socked me one.
This seems like a personal issue. It's so no. No, it would not fall under workers' compensation.
So, well, that's what I was going to ask you. So, you know how there's, what do they call the workplaces
mental
that
abuse.
Are... It's- hostile workplace.
Oh, right.
Right. Is that like a work comp injury? Like if you have to go in every day? Because that is a mental, emotional...
You can have a mental... There can be a mental, like a psychological injury component. But it has to essentially be things like you wouldn't expect in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, you know, a lot of times with a police officer... seeing something traumatic is not going to get you
because it's in the right or line of work.
You should be trained and it's your line of work.
But coming into a radio, feeling like someone's making fun of your hair.
I'm not going anywhere. I want to be standing in that corner looking that way. We got 5 minutes real quick. I just want to, Caitlin, what can clients expect when they from your practice if they retain you?
So let's say Marla were to call up today and needed to talk to someone about this. They would get an initial consultation with me direct for free. We talk about the issues. We'd figure out, you know, what's the next step. If they need to sign up, we send over the paperwork, we go through it, and then we handle everything from there moving on.
Setting up expectations, because we all know that, you know, from day one, the work comp provider is not always, you know, the most, you know, there's ebbs and flows in those cases that absolutely can devastate somebody emotionally. Talk about that conversation, how important it is from day one.
So we always have to set up from the beginning. This could take a year and you could lose at the end. So you have to also get, it's a mentally very taxing situation for injured workers. We try to get them into the right medical hands. So get them out of those panel providers and into the hands of the doctors we know are going to take care of them, like Dr. Mednani over here.
Dr. Brady.
Are
you kidding me?
Dr. Mednani's down the street.
I'm sick of being invisible.
Well, you guys are like the dynamic duo. Like we always just,
and he was even late.
Joining us together.
but it makes sense. And communications.
If you call me that day, you're going to hear back from me within 24 hours. From me, not from someone else. So I like to keep in contact with
So what's your contact information again? Caitlin Files? We can Google you?
You can Google me. The phone number is 215-987-6452. Injury is filesinjurylawyers.com. And social media, file.
And where are you located?
We're in Bucks County, but we handle all of Pennsylvania. So now, we're in Levittown, right down from.
So do you go out and meet with the people? How do you?
A lot of people nowadays do not want to do that, and that's fine. We can do virtual, we can do Zoom, or we can go to your house if you're in Bucks County or Philly area.
So Caitlin Files is Files Law.
Files Law, yeah.
Files Law.
That's it.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, let's go around the horn. Thank you, Caitlin Files.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. And Dr. Sanjay Bednani, practice contact information.
Axially Pain and Spine and Axially Pain and Surgical Center, axillarypain.com, and the phone number is 215-741-7031.
Dr. Jim Brady?
Dr. James Brady, chiropractor extraordinaire, 215-245-1000. I have offices in Bensalem, Port Richmond, and East Oak Lane, Alany area.
Marla Vitarello, Synergy Pharmacy.
Synergy Pharmacy, the extraordinaire pharmacy at SynergyScripts.com.
Real quick,
stop sending me weird videos.
talk real quick about what you guys do.
We handle all Pennsylvania workers' comp and auto accidents. So please contact us and we'll make sure you have your medications for your case.
And the contact information one more time?
SynergyScripts.com.
Dave Tyune, the name of the book and the pertinent details, if you will.
Stungthebook.com. All you need to know is once you pick it up, you're not going to be able to put it down, so don't take it on a vacation with your girlfriend like somebody did and got in trouble
for
not putting it down.
Wait, who's that?
Oh, boy.
Enough about me. No.
You have a girlfriend, Jim?
No.
God. I was like, I'm really out of the loop.
All right, listen, I want to thank everybody for being. I want to thank TJ in the producer's room. And, of course, I want to thank everyone. I wish everybody a happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year from the Sanjay and Jim Show. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening.